Hello, friends, and thank you for listening to the Hope Canteen podcast, where we look for the upcoming readings for Sunday for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 29th podcast. My name is Stephen London, priest at St. Thomas Anglican Church, and as always, joined by my fellow clergy at St. Thomas, Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. So how are you today? I'm guessing something's different. We've not had a podcast now for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the reason for that is that we've had COVID. We're mostly better. It's still hanging on a little bit for me, but improving. So stuff we didn't think that we'd have to deal with before 2020.
No. How about you, Michael?
Things are good here. We're pretty much isolated. Today we'll be picking up some groceries, but not by going into the store. We've pre-ordered and they'll be ready to bring them out to us just after 12. So yeah, we're going in that direction. And I've already started some Christmas shopping online, which is for me a new adventure. So yeah, we're adjusting, but staying safe as much as we can.
Maybe adjusting should be the word for the year. Absolutely. Everything seems to be an adjusting.
Yes.
As we go to this podcast, this week is a little different because this Sunday is the church's new year. The church calendar is different than the calendar hanging on your wall. We look at different parts of the mystery of Christ over the course of the normal year. You could think of the church calendar as sort of laying over the normal calendar. For instance, we look at Jesus' birth in the winter and Jesus' cross and resurrection in the spring, and each of those is what we call a season, the season of Christmas and the seasons of Lent and Easter. And every year we start all over again with a season called Advent. Advent is the time of year, or season, we call it, where we prepare for Christmas. But for people who are new to the church, our preparation seems a little odd. Preparing for Christmas usually means for most people putting up lights and having festive parties and cooking delicious meals and celebrating. But in the church, we will be preparing by reading Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. And if you want to go ahead and read that, just pause the podcast here. Frankly, this gospel reading is not very Christmassy. In fact, it seems to be about the end of the world. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds in power and glory. What in the world does that have to do with preparing for Christmas? As always, I am glad that Stephanie and Michael are here to help me get this straight. So maybe rather than jumping right into the reading, maybe we should back up a little bit and say a little bit more about what Advent is. Do you have some thoughts on that?
I have to say, Advent has always been, it used to cause trouble in my home at one point because I was so adamant that we had to keep Advent that I wanted to deny Christmas for 4 weeks. I wanted everybody to keep quiet so we could just do this Advent thing. After all, Christmas doesn't start until the 25th of December. I used to hold that position pretty firmly, and I'd get into trouble for that because people would say, oh, come on, we've got to get ready for Christmas, we've got to put the tree up and have the lights out and all of that, and I would be really, really grumpy. But I got over that and I've mellowed, and now I've found a way that Advent can exist alongside of the preparation for Christmas.
Yeah, to me, Advent is a great season of layering. And I think that also speaks to what you were talking about, Michael. When I think of Advent, I think of a convergence of lots of different arrivals. So we have the beginning of things, the arrival of God as this little baby Jesus. But Advent also layers on top of that the end of the story, so the second coming of Christ. And within all that, there's also the arrival of Jesus in our own hearts. So it's all these different parts of the story, the first coming, the second coming, the everyday coming, all those things layered on top of each other and all converging within these 4 weeks of Advent.
And that makes sense. That would be the case. The word Advent actually is a Latin word that means the arrival. So it's definitely, like you said, it's we're looking for the arrival of Jesus at Christmas in our hearts. And as this reading does, and that's, I think, part of the mystery of why we have that reading, the coming of Christ in glory.
Yeah, and I think that coming of Christ in glory also, it's important to remember that in our Christmas story, because on the one hand, it's a very ordinary someone is born. But I think this time of preparation in Advent, as well as things in the Christmas story, like the angels and these prophecies that foretell the birth of Jesus, all of those remind us that there's something bigger going on here.
Yes, it's the bigger picture that we need to be aware of. It's too easy to become focused on the little stuff about Christmas, the baby and the angels and all of that. And we have to remember as Christians that we are a part, and this whole story is all about a part of the bigger picture, what we look to at the very end of time.
Going with that layering theme, Stephanie, what you just said, Michael, one of the interesting things is there is a focus on the Old Testament here, and I think that's also very intentional. So this one's from Luke, but we also read a lot from the book of Isaiah. And the idea being that, if you remember at the beginning of this podcast, I talked about, we looked at different aspects of who Christ was and what his ministry was all about. But there was also, of course, a great time of preparation for Christ. There was the preparation for the Messiah, the one who would come to heal Israel, indeed the one who would come to heal the world. And there were the whole Old Testament, or most of the Old Testament, has this looking forward nature. And so this season is capturing that, this time of preparation, this time of waiting. So it's both their time of waiting, but then it's also layered in, I like you said that, Stephanie, with our waiting. And Michael, I think you're right. There's this tension with the waiting. You know, we want to get there, but we also know that we need to still wait these 4 weeks.
Yeah, and we have to, like you said, hold those in tension, because the reality is the world around us is all about Christmas and has been for several weeks already now. So to say we're going to prepare, and then we're going to have Christmas after Christmas, where when everyone is kind of Christmased out by then, it's something that doesn't really fit neatly, and we just have to live with that tension, I think.
It's time, though, to be patient. The gospel reading is in some ways, it's carries on from where we were at the end of the Pentecost season, because in those last few gospel readings, we were hearing Jesus tell parables that encouraged people to be prepared, to be ready. And this gospel passage from Mark for this particular Sunday is, the last two words of the excerpt are, keep awake, like, be ready, keep awake, don't miss the opportunity.
I think that's really the theme of Advent is keeping awake. And how do we do that? We have, like, for those of you who light an Advent wreath through Advent, there's a word attached to each of those weeks and each of those candles, peace and hope and joy and love. And in a sense, those are telling us how to prepare our hearts for Jesus. What should we be praying for as we look at what it means to keep awake in Advent? Maybe we should be praying for peace. Maybe we should be praying for love.
Yeah, and that really, it's interesting, this tension in Advent, which I find helpful, because in the current way that we do things, it is this focus on hope, love, peace, and joy. A previous way of celebrating Advent was a focus on the four last things, judgment, death, heaven, and hell, which are very different. And so there's this tension between the joy of Advent and the penitential nature of Advent, which we don't really celebrate so much. We have it in little bits. We stop saying the word Alleluia, and we stop singing Gloria, if that's a tradition in your church to sing the Gloria. And most churches wear purple, which is often a sign of penitence, though a lot of churches are all now switching to blue as a sign of a different aspect of what Advent looks like. If you go to St. Thomas, you'll see that we actually layer in blue and purple in our Advent decorations. It's kind of an interesting mixture of the two.
It's the same end of the spectrum.
Yes. In colors. Yes. Yeah. I'll yield to your authority on that one. But this tension, it is something quite, quite profound, trying to keep Advent as its own unique season without having Christmas spill into it. And I think, Michael, maybe that's what you were thinking about earlier, keeping the integrity of Advent. But it's hard to do because the radio is singing Christmas carols.
And has been for four weeks. I'm reminded of a carol. An Advent carol, Sleepers Wake, and the encouragement to, well, recognition that there's a tendency to be asleep as we prepare for the end time. And the carol reminds us that we need to be awake, just as the last words of Mark's gospel reading tell us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it means to keep awake?
Well, when we're asleep, we're not paying attention. We can cruise through things. We can miss important things when we're asleep. And I think the message is stay awake because there are some important things that you need to be ready for. You need to be prepared for. And that's what we're doing in Advent.
It's a good question. I like the way you put it, Michael. It sounds to me like it's a form of intentionality. I'm reminded of the parable of the sower when the seeds are thrown around. And in some of the soils, Jesus is saying, these are people who hear the word of God and they're excited about faith and they want to live this way. But just because life is so overwhelming, you're worried about all these things, you get distracted and you get off the path. And I think the keep awake is probably just that, right? To stay on the path, be intentional, live your life intentionally, follow Christ, keep him and this vision of the kingdom of God in sight. Because I think the kingdom of God, and then bigger, this great mystery of the incarnation, is the point of it. That's actually why I love Advent. I think that the mystery of the incarnation, of the word made flesh and dwelling among us, is so big that it can't be head knowledge. It's got to be heart knowledge. And heart knowledge is something that you've got to live into. You have to sit with. You have to let it soak in. And so we need this time. If you just go right to December 25th, celebrate Christmas, and then you're done, you miss something of the impact of it.
I have this image in my head of us walking along, sleepwalking, and because as we talk about waking up and sleepwalking along a path, a rocky path with a precipice to the side, there's some real danger in this, that if we fall off the edge, we really could have some great difficulty. It's just an image. It's just something that came to me.
I think the parallel is with Lent, saying that these two big events in the church year, the incarnation and the crucifixion and resurrection, are both so huge that they need this time to get ourselves right, I guess. To be aware of where those ledges are and to center ourselves on who's leading us through it.
I thought I would change things up with this podcast from the way that we normally do it. We normally at this point look to kind of what the reading speaks to us today, but I thought we might end on a little lighter note today because this is a very serious subject. And because COVID is going to make things so differently, I wonder if you'd maybe say a word or two about what is your favorite tradition or thing that you do during Advent that just makes you happy, and why is that? I think the two things for me about Advent that I always look forward to is my absolute favorite hymn in the whole hymnal is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. There's something about that, and every year I look forward to singing it. And so we're going to try to do that in a way that we're going to do it over with different verses over the course of all 4 weeks, because we only have these short opportunities to do that. And then my second favorite is, of course, the tradition of the Advent candle wreath. If some of you don't know it, we light one candle for each Sunday. And of course, there's four Sundays before Christmas. And then each candle has its own particular prayer. And so I love lighting them in the church. We'll have to do it on Zoom in some way. But I also like lighting them at home. So those are my two personal things that I really enjoy about Advent.
Those are things that speak to me as well. We have an Advent wreath that we put on the table, and it was made for us years ago by my grandson when he was a lot younger. He's now 15, but we will still have that same candle or wreath on the table with candles in it, and as you say, we light one every day until we get to all four, and then of course the Christ candle in the middle. That's an important part of, has been an important part of Advent for us, and we will continue that despite the fact that we're isolated at this point. The other thing is about preparation, and you mentioned the hymn, Steve. For me, as a choral musician, practicing music, getting ready for Christmas, has been a big part of Advent. We sing all those Christmas things, but we're trying to perfect them so that when Christmas comes, we'll be as close to perfect as possible. We'll never quite achieve that, but that's a big part of Advent, and that's something I'm missing this particular year. But I am, maybe I shouldn't confess this, but I am playing some Christmas music as we move towards the big festival.
No, I think there is a real grief there. And I think a lot of this season is going to have to be looking at things that we love to do that maybe we aren't going to do. And is exactly that, singing together, that's hard.
It's also about baking. I'm blessed to be married to a great baker, and her skills are appreciated by the whole family. Now, our grandson reminded her at one point a few months ago that butter tarts are for other times of the year besides Christmas, but the smells of baking are already starting to fill our home, and that's exciting. That's part of the fun of getting ready.
How about you, Steph?
Yeah, I've been thinking about O Come, O Come, Emmanuel as well, that hymn. And I think it speaks to, like I said, my favorite part of Advent, this kind of getting the sweep of the whole story and these things converging. That hymn comes from an ancient tradition called the O Antiphons, which were musical, poetic, little phrases that one for each of the days leading up to Christmas in the last week, week and a half. And each of those is a verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And we don't actually do that because we're not singing services together daily. But I love that those speak to prophecies of Jesus that come back from the book of Isaiah. And you're kind of coming through Advent and things are building, and then you hit those O antiphons and it's like the preparation ramps up, and all of a sudden it's these names of Jesus, right? O Key of David, O Root of Jesse, and culminating with O Emmanuel. And I love that sense of building through Advent. And the other thing that I love so much is, I think you mentioned, Steve, St. Thomas's has these beautiful hangings that they commissioned, I don't know, 25 years ago or something, from by a fiber artist. And to me, that's, I love just sitting and looking at those because they're just so beautiful. And like you said, they have these colors of Advent, and also within them, this hint of gold that sort of, I think, leads to what we're looking forward to.
So as we go through the next several weeks, we'll continue to reflect on Advent as we go through the different themes. I think next week is John the Baptist. So be prepared. Keep awake. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We enjoy making them. If you have any thoughts or ideas or your favorite Advent tradition, we would love to hear about it. Just drop me an email at revstevelondon@gmail.com or put it into the comments at the website. Until then, we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
For now.